Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about being led by the Spirit and just being led by God. I mean, that's essential to our lives as Christians. If we can be, you know, we've talked about that we have a plan, that we are, we've all been made ambassadors of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are here on this earth as ambassadors. And, you know, and then we talked about how we have certain giftings and callings that are unique to us in our lives and the giftings that He's given us. And so, you know, we're equipped, we're spiritually equipped, we're called, and as we walk through life, it's being led by God and knowing how to be led by Him and His Spirit that's going to allow us to carry out being an ambassador and our specific calling. It's the communications and the plans. This is how we get those communications and plans. It's like if we were an ambassador from another country and we were endowed with the credentials and everything and we were sent, but we didn't have any communication with the United States or whatever country we were representing. We didn't have any email. We didn't have any telephone. Then we'd be this representative, but we wouldn't know really what to do. That wouldn't be the best situation. So as Christians here on the earth, we are ambassadors for Him. We are equipped and called, and we want to walk out that calling. The way we do that is being led by Him, getting our directions daily, day by day, as we walk through this life from Him. And there's ways, different ways He can lead us, but there's so many misunderstandings of that, and we can make it way harder than it is. You know, if we were an ambassador in the natural, and we were always looking for super secret messages, you know, like from pigeons or, you know, looking in the little message in a tree or looking for some secret message in here. You know, we have this telephone or messaging system set up, but we don't look at the basic thing that's been set up. We're always looking for something else. We can miss our basic plan. That sounds foolish, but that's what we do as Christians a lot, is that we try to make it too hard, and God has not made it hard for us to follow out His plan. And it's not just the super spiritual Christians that are able to follow the plan, or the ones that just, you know, spend hours and hours on their knees. I mean, in our life, we want to make time for God and make sure we are hooked up with Him. But the fact is, we go from thing to thing in the day. And if the only time we're led, if we just, you know, we want to be led throughout the day, throughout the time that we're here. You know, you have, let's say you have a devotional time, a certain part of the day, whether it's night, morning, whatever, but then in the middle of the day, you have to make a decision that you didn't know about in the morning. What are you going to do then? You know, you want to know how to be led. You don't want to think everything, well, gosh, you know, I'm here out on my job where I got to make this decision. Just everybody wait. I got to run home and spend 3 hours, you know, in prayer about this. Well, I'm not saying we don't spend 3 hours, but we want to know how to be led just on a consistent basis, just in everything in life. And that doesn't take, it's not spectacular most of the time. It's supernatural. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is leading us constantly. Like we said last week, there are radio waves in this room right now, but we don't hear any of them because we don't have a radio tuned in. But they're being just sent out constantly. And God is constantly sending us directions, speaking to us. And it's whether we're just sensitive to know and sensitive to how He's leading us. And I just want to talk a little bit about how that happens. And we read last week, Romans 8:14. Before we go there, let's just turn quickly to Matthew 11:30. Matthew 11:30, let's go actually to 28. Actually, let's just read 25 too. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. For all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him." In verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And that applies to every area of our life. God has not put a heavy burden on us. He's not put a heavy yoke on us. He's not making it as exceedingly difficult for us to follow what He has called us to do. He has not made it so that He's called every single one of us into His army, into His family, into doing something for Him, and then made it so that you have to just really work hard to figure out His plan. It's just not that way. Now, religion would have you believe that. Religion makes things very hard on man because it's all about man trying to earn his way to God, instead of Christianity is that Jesus paved that way for us to go to be right with God. And so He's made it. He's done the heavy lifting. He's already done it. He has not made it so, okay, now all you super secret, you know, super spiritual Christians, you're the only ones that can join the elite force. Man, if that's the case, most of us would not be doing anything for God. And half the people that think they're really doing something, if they have that attitude, they're really probably off some way or another because they're making it about them and they're following some, you know, super spiritual in their mind thing that they're doing, instead of God has made it very clear and easy for His children to follow Him. And we're going to read some scriptures, you know, about that. The things that we would think, boy, people must have really, you know, been spiritual when they got that direction. It's just not the case. In fact, it was just that something seemed good to them, seemed like what they should do, and then they followed that. And that, in my experience and what I've seen, you know, in the Word and experience of people that have walked before me and gone, been around a lot longer than I have, that's the main way God leads us. Is not spectacular. It's just a peace and a bearing witness, like we're going to read in Romans 8:14 with us and our spirit, and it just seems good and there's peace there, and that's how He leads us most of the time. Now, He may lead us with a vision. He may lead us with an angel appearing to us, but the primary way He leads us is just a peace in our heart. And when we start looking for these spectacular ways, we open ourselves up to be deceived and to be led by the devil, because he's not ignorant. And if he knows you're just looking for some super, you know, spectacular way, or you think you're really spiritual, he'll accommodate you and think, well, this, because you're in pride at that point, you're making about you instead of what Jesus has done. He can go in there and say, oh yeah, you're so spiritual. Here, I'm going to give you this way. And it'll look, you may think it looks really spiritual. Nobody else can get this revelation. This is my, well, I have this revelation from God. Nobody else has it. We really have to watch it when we think we have something like that. Because Christianity has been around for 2,000 years. If we're just coming up from now, God really missed it somewhere if he couldn't get something revelation around. Now, I'm not saying there are things that have come back to the church that were there at the beginning. It's all in the Word. But we lost certain things, and they fell off. People weren't practicing it. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, you know, just that God wants us well, and he wants us healed and stuff. People, and you know, they just fell off through the ages to where there was always a remnant practicing these things, but a lot of people weren't. Now, did God, now, then he's used people to bring it back into, to, you know, so that it's in our forefront and we have this understanding. But God, it wasn't a new revelation. It's all in the Word. And then for our personal lives, if we think, well, I'm going to do something super different, we better watch it if we think we're going to do something that's just way new and different. Because there again, there's 6.5 billion people on this earth. There's people doing things for God all over, and we just better watch it if we think we're going to do something that's just, you know, so different and spectacular. So anyway, Romans 8:14. Let's turn back there. We read it last week, but let's go there before we go on. Romans 8:14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, and that we may also be glorified together." In verse 14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We are led. If we're sons of God or daughters of God, we are led. Just like the radio waves. We are receiving them. I mean, they're coming towards us. We are led. Now, whether we choose to know how God's leading us, that's up to us, but we're led. And if God is leading us, in other words, if you're a child of God, he's leading you. If you're a child of God, he is not hanging you out to dry. He is leading you just as much as any other person that is in the family. You know, however spiritual you may think they are, God leads us all. He doesn't have favoritism. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And see, that's how we know we're Christians. We act on the word, but there's a bearing witness in our hearts that something's changed. And people that aren't born again can't understand that. They say, well, oh yeah, you think you have some sense. Well, they haven't experienced it and they don't realize that you are a recreated being and it seems foolishness to them. But when we're born again, God himself, the creator, bears witness with us that we are children of God and there's a peace there, you know, that we know him. And that may seem like foolishness, like the Bible says to people that are perishing, that people that don't understand, but that's true. And just like he bears witness in that way is the same way he bears witness and leads us that we are on the right track. That the same way he bears witness that this is right. You know, eventually we all had to make a decision that, you know what? What the Bible says is true. I believe it. Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I make that decision. And that bears witness with me. Well, that's the same way as we're walking out our life. We say, we look at something and say, is this the right way to go? And something inside says, yes, it's the right way to go. Or you read a book. Or you hear somebody speak, and you know you're thinking, is that right? Yeah, that's right. Or is this right? No, it's not right. This is wrong. That's wrong. There's something that doesn't bear witness there. That's how God. That's our GPS system. That's how he's moving us, telling you, you know, turn right, turn left, make a U-turn. You missed it back there. That's how he does it. Is that we go too far and we're like, oh. Something's wrong. And then, like, you know, we were talking about last week, we go back to where we had peace and things seem to clear up. So God has not made it hard. He's not made it hard for us to lead us. All the things of God are really easy. They are. Religion makes it hard. Religion wants to say, if you'll do this and this and this, if you'll pray this many times, look at the religions of the world. They say you have to do these things a certain way. Do it at these certain times. Pray this way. Pray, you know, eat this way. Do this. And if you do this, you'll have favor from God. It's all this formula you have to, and it makes it hard on the individual. And if the harder it is, the people that make it through are really elite, and then maybe God will work with them. And Christianity says Jesus has come through. Nobody could do anything for you but the Lord God himself. And he has made the way. He has done all the heavy lifting. And so you just need to follow him. And all the glory goes back to him. And you say, you know what? Lord, it's not me. I don't know what to do, but you know what to do. Lead me. And lead me the way you know I can be led. He knows who you listen to. You know, sometimes he knows the people that you'll listen to in your life or what you'll read or what you see or whatever. He knows. So he knows how to get it across to you. He's not stupid. I mean, if you have a relative, a mother or, you know, father, child, whatever, if you know them well, you know how to communicate with them. Hopefully, you know, you may know how to communicate what they like for a gift or what they like for food or what'll speak to them. Well, how much more does God Almighty know us so that he knows how to, if he has something to get across to you, something that's critical or something that he wants you to, he loves us more than we know. And so he knows, he wants something good. He wants you to have a good life for one. And then he has his plans on the earth that he wants to be accomplished. So he wants to see his body move forward. Is he going to take some message he has for you and make it in a way that, boy, you could easily miss it and either mess your life up or not forward his plans in the earth? Why would he do that? You know, you think of somebody you love. If there was something critical for their well-being, would you write it in a way or, you know, send them a message in a way that they could miss it? Or would you make it as plain as day? Do this. You know, you would be waving your hands. You would do, if it was life or death, you would do whatever you could to make it plain. But then we look at God and we say he loves us, but then we'll say, well, I don't know if he can really lead me. And maybe he's trying to, you know, it's almost like he's trying to trick me, or he doesn't love me enough to make it plain. It's like, you know, we don't say it that way, but once you get to where you're thinking it's hard, I might miss it. If you love somebody, you would make it so that they're not going to miss it. And you would make it so that if they missed your first thing, you're going to get the second thing, and you're going to get the third thing. You would make it so that I want you to succeed. I'm going to make sure. Now, I mean, of course, this is given that we're listening. But so many times, what the devil wants to tell you is, well, you're just not listening hard enough, or you're not doing enough, so that's why you're not getting it. And see, it puts it back on you. And anytime something gets put back on you like that, you know that's not right. That's the enemy trying to steal from you. But when real faith is saying, God, you know what? I may not know everything, but I know I'm listening. I'm trusting you, and I'm going after you. So Lord, lead me and guide me. And then there's a peace and a calmness and a rest that we're resting in the hand of God, and that he's getting us to where we need to go. And we don't have to plan everything out or be fidgeting every bit of the way thinking, am I going the right way? Am I going the right way? Oh no, I don't know. You know, a child does not do that if he or she trusts his parent. You know, if he's going down on a walk and you, hey, let's go for a walk, and the child says, okay, they don't worry about where they're going or if it's the right way. They're just saying, well, mommy, daddy said to go this way, so I'm going to go this way. And you say, hey, go, you know, let's turn here. Okay, let's turn here. They're not thinking the whole time, is this the right way? What's coming up ahead? Are you sure, daddy? Are you sure, mommy? They're not thinking that way. But we can get to that way where we think, yeah, I don't know. Am I going the right way? I got to follow the plan of God. This is so critical. And if you get super serious, like, now I'm thinking the things of God are serious. But the devil will make it serious in a stupid way to where we are uptight about the seriousness. God is not uptight about his plans. He is not uptight about you missing it. Religion tries to make us uptight. They're all serious, and things are needing to happen, but God's not going to put... You think it. The plan that God has, he is responsible for how many billions of people, and the devil wants to tell you, man, it's all on your shoulders. God has a lot of responsibility. He's not uptight. He's saying, yeah, you know, I have something for you to do, okay? But there's also 6.5 other billion people that I got something to do, okay? I'm leading them too. I have a big plan. Now, I got backup plans. I got triple backup plans. I got quadruple. I got it going. Now, you just rest in me. We'll get it done. My yoke's easy. And if everybody will just rest in the yoke that God's given them, just be restful, we'll all get it done. Because who's the one that is the responsibility's on him? He's bringing his body. Nobody's going to do it. I don't care what superstar in the face are, they're not going to get it done. It's going to be God. And with people that look to him and let him lead them. So, let's read a couple scriptures. You see, this is true. There's these things, big events in the history of the church that just happened by people just being led. Let's look to Luke 1:3. So let's read Luke 1:1. This is the Gospel of Luke. This is the Bible. I mean, this is a book in the Bible. And this is what it says. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So here is Luke, and he says, there has been many accounts. But he's talking about Jesus and what happened in the life of Jesus. And he says, there's been many accounts, many people have taken to write this down. And it seemed good to me to do the same thing. Even though there's already been people that have done it, there's already been people. It just seemed good that I should write, having perfect understanding, having a mature understanding, having, you know, a good understanding of all these things from the very first, to write to you. And he's writing to this guy, Theophilus, maybe dignitary and all that, you know. So he says he's writing to him that you would know the certainty of these things. He didn't say, it doesn't say that he had vision. It doesn't say that he had an angel appear to him. It doesn't say I was fasting for 3 weeks and boy, the Lord just spoke to me. And but you know, like a lot of Christians, this is the Bible. This man wrote a book in our Bible that is still we read today. And he just said, you know what? It seemed good that I should do the same thing. Now, most Christians would, not most Christians, there are some Christians that would way over spiritualize that and say, you know, want to make it this huge. If you thought about that, I'm going to write, I mean, think about just writing a book today, let alone something that's in the Bible. Do something that people would consider really big. Boy, they just want to make it this huge deal. Instead of just, you know what? I thought it was a good idea. I should write this. So I did it. That's how God leads us. So we get thoughts in our head or we think something, you know what? I think I should do this. And if it seems good, just peace, I really think I should. Sometimes we dismiss that as me. That's just me. It's not God leading. That's just me. I just had that thought. Well, you don't think God can lead us? I mean, can put thoughts and then, you know, the umpire is our heart. But you don't think God can give you thoughts? The devil can give you thoughts. You ever thought, you know, I'm an idiot or I messed up. God can't use me. Where does that come from? Is that you? I hope we don't generate that ourselves. I mean, God, the devil can put that in motion. God can say, you know what? And you do it first. You know what? I think I should write a book. I think I should take this job. You know what? I think I should move here. Now, you know, pray about it. It seems good. Why? It just seems good. I like this. I think I should do this. Don't dismiss that. If it bears witness, don't over-spiritual. Oh, that's just me. Well, yeah, it's just you. It may just be you with a God thought. Don't dismiss that. See, that seems so simple for some people that, oh, that's not spiritual. Yeah, it is spiritual. If God Almighty's leading. So if God were, Jesus were standing, you would say, hey, why don't you go over there and get that? Would that be, you know, what's so spiritual about that? If it's Jesus in the room leading you? It's spiritual because Jesus is a spirit. He's leading. It's big time. God Almighty has given you a direction. It's just that he's doing it just like I'm talking to you. Well, that's, we're supposed to have a relationship with God Almighty, with the Holy Spirit, such that he says, do this. And okay. That's spiritual. That's really, I mean, you're being led by God Almighty. You have such a direction that you just kind of have, and it doesn't have to be a voice. I'm just saying you have a thought or it's just an impression. Just kind of, because so many of our thoughts, and they're not like typewritten form in a sentence. It's just kind of you think something and boy, before you can even verbalize it in your head or whatever, you know, it's just an impression. It's a picture. You see yourself doing something or you think about moving somewhere. It's not that you should move here. It's just that you see yourself going somewhere. You see yourself taking a job and you're like, ah, that seems like a good thing I should do. You know, all we have from Luke here is that it just seemed good. We don't know how that came, but it just seemed good that I should. You know, he saw himself writing. I think I should write a letter to Theophilus and you know what? I think I need to put down this stuff because I have a good understanding. He was a physician. He had some, you know, he's very detailed. I think I should write something. I think that's something I should do. And he did it. And lo and behold, that's a book in the Bible. And then Acts, the same way. You know, he wrote that. He just wrote it. It was a continuation of the things that were in Luke. But that's how these things came into being. Let's turn to Acts 15:28. See, I think our flesh, most people, if you ask them, they want to be really sure if you just ask somebody, I think, off the street, if God appeared to them in a vision, and I mean, there's something about that, but you would think, boy, then I could be really sure. Or that's what I would prefer to have rather than God just, you know, pressing me to do something. But that's our flesh. That's not, sometimes we just want the spectacular, something that we just want to grab a hold of rather than just have such a good relationship with God that he can lead us day to day. And so this is a thing that these apostles had gotten together and there was this issue with these new believers on what they should do and shouldn't do. And so they got together and had this meeting. And so they were writing this letter to these people. And this is what they said. And let's go to Acts 15:24. It says, greetings, since we have heard that some of you went out from us troubled with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. So they get all these commandments of what they should do, shouldn't do, and these people are all troubled going, well, what's true? What should we do? You know, it says, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things, that you should abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these things, you will do well. So twice there, he says, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. It just seemed good. It seemed like the right thing to do. This is what we ought to do. He didn't go into a lot of detail. He said, you know what? This is what we should do. This seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. And they're writing this letter and this decree. They didn't go off into a bunch of, you know, hyper-spiritual anything. They just said it seemed good. Now let's turn just a few verses down. Actually, we just keep reading in verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So Silas stayed. Paul and Barnabas remain. And you know, then you see down Paul and Silas ended up doing a lot, but Silas ended up remaining, and he didn't say anything, you know, big spiritual anything. He just said, you know what, I think I should stay. He's a prophet of God. He says, I think we should just stay. I think I should stay and remain. And you know, that's just the same thing with us, is that we just, if we'll just go by what seems good to us, if something seems bad or troubles us in any way, just leave it. Just, somebody has said it like this, you're speaking in another way, but it has to do with this too. If something doesn't seem good to you, or you're just not sure about it, just shelve it for a little bit. Or, and somebody said it in this way, you know, if you want to run on something, just walk. If you want to walk, crawl. And if you want to crawl, stop. If you feel like you, if you just aren't sure about something, then don't force it. Don't override it. If you're not sure about something, if there's just not a calmness and a peace, even if you think it's your head, if you're not sure it's your heart, but you're just not set, it just doesn't completely seem good. Now, it may just be your head that needs to catch up with your heart. That's fine. But God's never in a hurry. He is never in a hurry. He knows who he's dealing with. He knows when he's dealing with you, he knows you. And so he doesn't, like, God has been around forever. He has a plan that he knows what he needs to get done. He knows what he needs to get done in your life. So when you start to feel pressure to make a decision quickly, it's never God. God will never pressure you to make a decision quickly. If you start feeling driven, like, boy, I better get, you know, God's plan is just, what God has called me to do is just so important that I have to do this and this. And boy, if I just don't get here and here, and I'm not sure about these things, but I know I just got to make a decision. It's not God. The devil drives. God's a shepherd. He leads the sheep. He doesn't go behind us and drive us, you know, like cattle. He leads us. He lets us follow him, and he makes a very clear path. So when we feel, and it's tempting, I've been there, where you feel like you really need to make a decision. Boy, it's critical, and it'll seem, you can seem spiritual. It can seem like yeah, it's, I mean, this needs to be done, and it's because this and this, and we need to make this decision. If I've gone ahead and made the decision because I realized, you know what, that was a smokescreen. That wasn't God. That was the devil trying to force my hand. And it might be in a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But when we feel pushed, when we feel pushed and like, you know, I have to do this because God expects me to make this decision quick. It's not God. God is not in a hurry. He knew where you were going to be before you were ever born. He knows where you're going through now. You know, if it was that important, He would have prepared you to know what's going on. God knows who He's dealing with in us. And so He is not impatient. He knows who He's dealing with. So if you start feeling pressure, you got to do that. It'll come like this. I have to do this or this might not happen, and God's, you know, God's plans aren't going to be moved forward. And if we don't do this, we might miss out on a blessing. And you can have these circumstances set up so it looks like there's a really good deal in front of you or something. And boy, this is God that set this up. And if I don't act on it really quick, I might miss it. And it's a blessing from God. You hear that type of stuff? Anything that says you have to act now or you're going to miss out. What is the motivating factor right there? It's fear. It's fear that you're going to miss it or that something bad is going to happen if you don't act. It's not God. God is never concerned. God is triumphant. He is never, you know, His feathers are never ruffled. He's never saying, we have to do this now or else. God is calm, cool, and collected. He has a plan, and if it is that critical, He's already got umpteen ways of making it happen that does not involve stressing you out to the point that you feel driven. It's not. He's already planned it. He saw it 1,000 years ago. It doesn't come down to where He... See, that implies that somehow God is surprised and something took Him off guard. It's not. He knows exactly what He's doing. He says, you know what? I know this person is not going to be ready here. They're really going to be ready like 3 weeks from now to really be solid and make this decision. Now I'm going to deal with them to make this decision now. They're not going to be ready. I know that because there's things in their life. Now the devil tried to tell you, no, it's tomorrow. God brought this in front of you, so you got to make that decision tomorrow. No, God, devil will tell you that, but God's saying, you know, I brought this in front of them. I know it's going to take them 3 weeks to get there, and I'll deal with them and allow them to. And you just be calm and sure that God knows me. He's dealing with God. I'm just not ready. Man, you know I want your will. You know I want to do what you want me to do. I'm just not ready. God's okay with that. Just rest in Him. Just be okay. But God, I'm gonna wait on you. You know I don't want to miss you. I want to make sure it's you. And when you're sure and there's just peace, then you move. Because then when you move and you make that step, and then storms come because you made a step or you're not sure, you know, that decision could be questioned. You're sure because you waited, because you made sure you heard from God and you say, no, I heard from you, God, I waited. But when the devil tries to push you and you listen to that and you know you're not ready or something and you say, I'm not sure about this, but I feel like I have to, I'm going to miss something, and you jump. Now stuff doesn't look quite, what if stuff doesn't look quite like you thought it was? Now what are you tempted to do? I'm not sure I made the right decision back here, even though you could be right on. But because you didn't wait, I'm not sure. And then you waffle. And then God, you're on the right path. God has put you on the right path, but you tried to push it. And now you're shaky. And so God doesn't push us. He doesn't push us. We just learn to trust Him, know He's working with us, know He's not in a hurry, know He leads us by our heart, and that if something seems good to us, it's peace. You can trust that. God is not going to, if it's something that is going to harm you, that something is wrong, there will be a warning. You will not feel peace. You would have to override and ignore God's signals to miss it. And if we just can trust God that much to where, you know what, God, I feel peace, then chances are you're right. And just don't be in a hurry. Make sure that you're going on the right track. Or make sure that it is peace. It's not just your flesh, because you can say, oh, I really want that. But it's your flesh that really wants that. If you just settle down a little bit later, you start to say, nah, but inside it's not quite right. Just make sure it's not your emotions. It's not your flesh. It's your heart. And the way we do that is if we're not completely settled, we just wait on God, be patient. And if we'll do that, God will lead us. We won't miss it. We'll be right. And we'll just be just like these people. It just seemed good to me to do that, and it was the right decision. And look where, you know, I am today, because God was leading me, and I can trust Him. Thank God, it's not hard. It's not hard. And I'm not, I mean, I'm just telling me just declaring that, because there's so many things that want to make it, twist it to where our relationship with God is hard. It's just not hard. And we have to remind ourselves about that. And that's why I'm saying that. That even if we've walked with God for many years, it's so easy to get caught to start thinking, well, this is a trick. You're at this other level now, so now you got to do all this stuff to be hearing from God, even though you've heard from God all this time. It's never like that. Thank God.